From the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, New Revised Standard Version. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God. Please be seated. Of the 90 or so times that Jesus is addressed in the New Testament, roughly 60 of that, he is called teacher, rabbi, master. In Freeing Jesus, Diana Bass writes, "In the Gospels, the preponderance of action that occurs is Jesus teaching." Jesus is a teacher. He teaches at the temple. He teaches on the hillside. He teaches by the lake, in a field, by a campfire, at dinner. He's teaching while at a wedding and in the center of the city. He teaches individuals and disciples, large crowds, small groups, his friends and his foes. Jesus is always teaching. He's a teacher. In fact, The only account that we have of Jesus in the Gospels, as a child, he's in the synagogue doing what? Teaching. He's teaching. We don't hear about Jesus after that. He was missing for days. His parents realizes, where is this boy? If their boy was a Tongan boy, he'd be at the bakery. Amen. Maybe if it was your child, they would be out playing on the streets with the kids. There's a million places a child could be, but when they look for him, for he had been missing for days, they find him in the synagogue teaching. Nothing else is said about Jesus' childhood until he shows up on the scene as an adult. Like, nothing. I think Mary may have just grounded him. He was a teacher. At the resurrection in the book of John, the Gospel of John, we are told that at the resurrection, Jesus out, Martha encounters Jesus and she says, "Teacher, Rabboni, teacher." Jesus is a teacher. There are some Christians who are afraid to call Jesus teacher. They feel like it may somehow dismantle or diminish the fact that Jesus is God. And so we've got to be careful about calling Jesus teacher, because if we call Jesus a teacher, we're discounting the fact that Jesus is God. But the New Testament, these gospel writers would use teacher freely because they realize that Jesus' missional purpose has to do with teaching. Teachers are important. So Jesus identifies more clearly with our teachers than Jesus identifies in the gospel with pastors. Teachers, you are more like Jesus than us pastors. Amen? Amen. Remember, Jesus gets crucified. Amen. And so, We must keep our eyes on Jesus, the teacher, and see what missional purpose is Jesus doing, that every time he teaches, lives are transformed and changed into the likeness of God. This is Gail Asatani. Gail Asatani, as of June 30th, retired from teaching. She retired after 43 years of teaching. 43 years of teaching. She graduated from HMA, Hawaii Mission Academy, in 1976, took a year out in Japan, and then came back, finished up her work as a teacher, and started to teach in 1981 on the mainland. So she left her home, came to the mainland, and started teaching in California. It was some of her very first classes. I've got a picture here. This next one, this is her class. That's her. That's her back in 1982. See, you see, young people, this is what pictures used to look like. Horrible. Be thankful for your digital devices that has 4K. 1983, she continues teaching this class. She takes on first, second graders. And among those was a very handsome devil. That's me in the middle. Look at my head is so big, it's not in the full picture. Like, what's going on here? Why, oh Lord, why? I share Gail Asatani. Her name back then was Miss Nada. She had not been married yet. I was new to this school. I just literally, this was my first year. In fact, sometimes as adults, me and some of these classmates who are still friends, we debate about when I came, because I really thought I was there in first grade, and all of them say I was there starting second grade, mainly because I don't know how to count, praise the Lord. And so I found the yearbooks, and the first picture I showed you of Miss Nada, or Mrs. Asatani, was first grade, and sure enough, I wasn't there. But here in second grade is where I start my journey. I had just come from a school that was completely different. It was a more of an urban school, and I really kind of connected there. There was a different style of teaching. I was just new in the country. We had just moved there a couple years, and so I was also a very, you can't tell in this picture, but I was a tall kid. I was almost as tall as my teacher in second grade. I was large, I was tall, and I was undocumented. I was from another school that was very different in its rhythm and its style, and I didn't know anyone else at this school. My siblings were in upper grade, and Linda, my sister, was not in school yet, so I didn't know any of these kids. These kids knew each other. They went to church together. They went to movies together. They did VBS together. I didn't know any of this. I didn't know any of these children, and I felt like a sore thumb. I felt like I was out of place, like I didn't belong there. I felt like I was on the edges or on the fringes of what the main group might look like. Has anyone ever felt like that? Have you ever been in that place? But Miss Asatani was brilliant. She always found ways to create an individual connection with each student, knowing when to encourage, knowing when to hold them close. One day, she tells our class, hey, I want you to draw whatever you want for art class and turn it in. Art is probably my worst subject ever. I'm not a very good artist. I can't draw very well. My daughter, at the age of 6, draws better than I do, and she still continues to draw really well. It's just not my gift. And I was sitting at the table, and all these kids were drawing their drawings. Some draw colorful rainbows. Others drew forestry and waterfalls. Some drew very cool and very meticulously put together planes, you know, all this stuff. And I just couldn't think of what to put on this paper. Excuse me. I was struggling to figure out what I would do. And so I decided I would draw a boat. Very simple, very plain, one color. Nothing detailed. Nothing about it was exemplary. It was just a triangle with a little box on the top and a stick, a little head and a stick. And this was mine. And as all the kids came rushing up to the front to show Miss Nada their photo, they were excited because of all the work they did. It was brilliant. It was beautiful. It was colorful. And I stood there in the back of this crowd of kids, and they're look, Miss Nada. Oh, look at this. And she would find something beautiful and unique about it. Oh, I love that. Oh, that's beautiful, Michael. That's great, Allison. I love these. And as I'm looking at their pictures, I'm thinking, oh, I love those too. I wish that was my drawing. And I realized just how inept I was in this group because I couldn't even draw. So I held my picture close and I held it down and I just kind of waited. And at the right time, when Miss Nada was distracted, I started moving back to my desk. And as I creep to my desk, I hear Icky. Yeah, she said, Icky, you haven't shown me your picture yet. Oh, well, it's okay. And she said, no, show me. I want to see your picture. I said, no, I don't want to see my picture, Miss Nada. She says, no, show me the picture. And in front of all these kids, nonetheless, you know, kids can be a tough crowd. And I sheepishly came forward and I handed my paper in of this triangle with a box, with a circle, with a line in one color. It was just all in green. I don't know why the man was green. I don't know why the boat was green. It was just green. That was my color. I just greened it out. I handed it in and I felt, you know, when you feel that you're about to, your eyes are starting to well up with water and you're, you know, the embarrassment, that shame. I just knew after this moment, I was never coming back to this school again. And I just turned it in and I moonwalked backwards. And she looks at it and she looks at it and she looks at it. She says, oh, that's interesting. Interesting. Way to make it worse. And all the kids start asking you, Miss Nada, who's your favorite picture? And they start putting it in their face. Look at the rainbow. Miss Nada, who's it? Look at it. And Miss Nada just kind of looks through my classmates, looks straight at me, and says, Icky's is my favorite. Now I knew she was crazy. my photo? The one color, green man, box and square, and triangle, my favorite, by far. And she says, Allison, yours was gorgeous. All the colors, wonderful. And Michael, I can't believe you did that. That's amazing. I've never seen a castle so grand and opulent. And she's going one at a time. And they say, but Icky's is your favorite? She says, yeah. And then they ask the question that I was wondering, why? I held my breath. She looked at the picture. She looked at me. And I knew there was obviously nothing she could say at this point to reconcile what she had just said. She looks at me, she looks at the picture, and she says, well, simple. Green is my favorite color. And Icky chose the right color. You know, she brought something out of me that day. And nope, it wasn't my artistic abilities. She brought something out of me that day that I didn't even know I couldn't see. And that was my value to participate in this group. That I have the ability and the wherewithal to be a part of the group. She made a move that only Jesus could do. That as Jesus teaches, Jesus is always moving those who feel unqualified into the group. That Jesus pulls the fringe and those on the edges, those who feel like, I just don't belong. He calls fishermen and tax collectors. He calls all kinds of people who don't have the best of titles. And he says, you have value in participating with this group. In the book of Mark, Jesus does it again as teacher. We see here Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is the name. Bar is son, and Timaeus is unclean or defiled. And there's a little bit of debate on what Bartimaeus' name is. But according to Strong's Concordance, Bartimaeus' name is son of the unclean, a legacy of brokenness. Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus is a beggar. And Bartimaeus is sitting on the fringe of Jericho, waiting for someone to give him a handout. This is Bartimaeus's story. This is who Bartimaeus is. And if I had to compare the discipleship candidacy in this particular chapter, chapter 10, where there was a rich young ruler, and then there were the disciples, James and John, who also wanted to be students under Jesus' tutelage, I would have picked the rich young ruler, just a really good candidate. I mean, he's rich. That's all I need to know. My student, I'll take him. He's young, he's got it together. And then you have James and John who've already been following you. They're selected disciples. The candidacy is rich here of good people, yet it is the blind beggar who would top the list of Jesus' students' choices. In chapter 10, verse 35 to 45, the incident before the actual, was the actual disciples. So this is the story in verse 35 to 45, just before this one. The disciples here, these are actual, James and John, they were eager to grow alongside Jesus towards greatness and success. Jesus, tell us, who gets to sit on your left side and your right side? Jesus, we want to be with you. In that new administration, when you build out the territory, we want to be a part of that. We're excited about this. Let's push forward. Everybody needs people like this in their lives, by the way. These people who get like super hyped and they wanna push the vision forward. This is James and John. And then the story just before the James and John was of the rich young ruler, verse 17 to 31. And the incident was that there was this young man who came and asked the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, I want to be thoughtful about this. What is it that I must do to inherit eternal life? I've done all the good things since I was a child. I've kept all of the commandments. I have the resources. I've got all the needs that I need to have in order to accomplish this task. Jesus, pick me as your student. However, beneath all of this, the surface of this beggar, the beggar shows his skills. We begin to see Bartimaeus and Bartimaeus's abilities, even though it's hidden from the crowd who wants to hush him down. Listen, you're an infringed person. You're on the edge. You don't deserve to speak up. You haven't done enough. You haven't met all the requirements to follow Jesus like we have. But this Bartimaeus, he must have been attentive. He had to be listening and knew how to process, because knowing who Jesus was as Jesus was coming through and what Jesus could do with a petition is a big deal. He's blind. He's never seen Jesus do a miracle before. He's had to listen closely about the things they would say about Jesus. He's had to listen closely about how they identify Jesus and who the person Jesus is, so that when this Jesus comes by and he hears the right tones and the right identification, he thus calls forward. He's attentive. He's listening. And his statement is this: Son of David. The Son of David recognizes Jesus was the lineage of David. This was the Davidic lineage. And so he gives Jesus the right title for this scenario. He gives Jesus the royal lineage. This isn't the lineage of Rome. This king is a different king. This king uses and utilizes power differently, unlike Rome and Rome's militaristic ways. Rome had power, and they wanted to enforce through power, through military, a peace among the people. They wanted to get and gain. They would have taken the rich young ruler and the two excited disciples. They would not have looked at the blind man. But Jesus has a different kingdom. He wants to live by a different economy. He wants to have different citizens. And I say, church, we should all be excited to be part of the kingdom of God that looks nothing like the kingdom of Rome. Amen? It would give citizenship and value from the bottom up. It would be servant leadership. It would care for the marginalized. It would make room at the table. This was Jesus. And the beggar was bold enough not to quiet down. Because those who thought that they deserved to be in the presence of Jesus and go with Jesus, they filled out enough requirements, were telling him, hey, be quiet. But he would not quiet down. He was attentive. He was clear. And he was bold. Unlike the rich man, Bartimaeus is landless and disabled. He's a victim of the system, not a beneficiary of the system. Unlike the disciples, he dares not approach Jesus directly with his request. The beggar inquires not after the mysteries of eternal life, like the ruler, or the top posts of a new administration, like the disciples, but after mercy. Despite those who would silence him, he wanted mercy. While the rich man walks away from the call to be a student, Bartimaeus gives all that he has. He throws his cloak aside and comes to Jesus. The beggars would use these cloaks to gather money. They would throw it out and people would put money in and they would pull it back in. He was willing to give up the one thing that was keeping him alive that he might see Jesus, while the rich young ruler could not give what he had to follow Jesus. Mark's parallel. Petitions are disciples and the beggar. You see here on the screen, Mark chapter 10. And Jesus said to them, what is it you want to do for you? What you want me to do for you? Same exact question. This was intentional on Mark's part, as Mark writes. Mark is creating for us a contrast, a parallel contrast, so that we can see the difference between these two particular, or these groups of students. And Jesus said to them, what is it you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. This is what we want, Jesus. Put us on each side of you, and your new administration begins to grow. We want to be there in power and glory. And when Jesus asked the same exact question to the beggar says, the blind man said to him, my teacher, let me see again. So all three of these parties, rich young ruler, the disciples, and the beggar, call Jesus teacher, but only one was able to receive and follow the way of Jesus. Jesus cannot answer the rich man's question because he will not make reparation. Jesus cannot grant the disciples' request because it was based on delusions of grandiosity. But Jesus can help the beggar because Bartimaeus knows he is blind. So here in our story today, the one without sight is the only one that sees clearly. The one who gives sight teaches those that can't quite see it through his actions. And those who can't see it are taught by sight through the interaction of the teacher and the beggar how to live. The miracle didn't start at the healing for this story. The miracle started when Jesus stopped and saw the beggar, that the beggar might be seen by the community. You see the power there. Often we run to the physical miracle of something beautiful that happens, but the most miraculous moment is that Jesus stops that the blind man might see and be seen. And so as teachers, how do we teach through our lives? What is it that we do? As a homeschool teacher, as an athletics coach, a university educator, professor, administrator, how do we teach through our life? Mrs. Ossetani was more than just a second grade teacher. I drew a boat because, in all honesty, I didn't know what else to draw. But a boat reminded me of home, not a home that we were currently living in Compton. It reminded me of a home further away before we left Tonga. My dad had a boat. And one of my clearest memories is sitting on that boat and letting the boat rock and the feeling of the sensation of safety and comfort. It was the one thing that I had in this foreign, wide, weird world of people that I didn't know that anchored me to reality. The boat wasn't just the boat, it was that which I knew to be true in my life. And so I drew a boat. And Miss Ossetani saw me on that day, and her answer and her work with me anchored me to something new. It anchored me to a new community that was hopeful, that reminded me I was valuable enough to participate in these groups. As teachers of life, each of us, we have the wonderful gift to help others be anchored in the community, to give value to each other, to bless each other, to teach not just in our classrooms, but in our living, what grace might look like. In the way of Jesus, may we dig deep to see and give value to all that they might be seen. As I close, I want you to consider, what might we all do in our lives to help others be seen? What might you do in your life to help others be seen? Sit with this question for a second. May this year be the year that God grants us eyes to see those who are sitting on the fringes of Jericho, waiting for compassionate hearts to make a table that has room for all, so that all may be well.